with what was coming to mind whenever we were worshiping is the word that God has for the season. How many believe God always has a word for the season? The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. And whenever Abraham was going out up to the mountain where God had called him to come and sacrifice his son, that place he found out that God's, another one of God's name was Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, right? But it's actually the place that was called that. In that place, he called Jehovah Jireh. So wherever you might be, whenever you're entering this season, God has a name of his that he wants to call over the place, over the region, over the season that we are in. And that name is Jehovah El Gabor. El Gabor means strong and mighty. It's the God who is strong, the one who goes before you and fights for you. And he's the, it's his strength, his power, his might. So he's telling us this season, step back and let me fight for you. Step back and let me go before you as your warrior. Let me go and move the mountains that you have not been able to move. Let me go in and take back those children you haven't been able to bring back home. Let me go on and straighten those paths that you have not been able to straighten. Break those bars that you have not been able to break. Let me go before you. I think of that verse that says, lift up your heads, all you gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. That's the season that we're in, where the gates have to back up because God is marching up. And whenever he's marching up, guess where we are? Where is entourage in the back? We're just shouting with victory because we win. We don't have to do that much. All we have to do is give a shout of victory, give a shout of joy because our warrior has gone before us. Amen. Amen. There's that verse that says that the shout of the king is among us. Whenever they were going into battle, a king would shout and give the signal that it's time to go into war. See, with God, all he has to do is give the shout of, I win! And the battle is over. Amen. So he's calling us this season of Jehovah El Gabor, the God who goes before us, who is fighting for us. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I know there's some things that no matter how much I fast, pray, give, they are just not giving way. So I'm so grateful for Jehovah El Gabor, who is going before me, going before you to tear down those strongholds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Thank you, God. Are we ready with that? No? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. We'll just go straight into the word here. I'm going to be preaching on the power of the prophetic church. The power of a prophetic church. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. See. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Corinthians is after Romans in the New Testament and before 2 Corinthians. Okay, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. And just before I do that, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your presence this morning. God, thank you that you are here. Thank you, God, that you have set the atmosphere. Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege to come and gather in this place. Oh God, we don't have to hide. We don't have to sneak, Lord, to get here. We can worship you in freedom. We can worship you, oh God, in broad daylight. We can worship you with joy. Father, this is an honor that you woke us up this morning, God, that Lord, that you woke us up this morning to come and fellowship together. What an honor. What a privilege, God. I think of David who said that he was glad when they said unto him, let us go unto the house of the Lord. God, what better place to be in than here, oh God, other than in your presence, Lord. I love that we are here, gathered here together with our brothers and sisters. Father God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to have his way in this place. I pray, Heavenly Father God, that our hearts and minds would continue to be united and to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We lift up our ears, we open up our ears, we open up our hearts to you, God, to receive from you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every single word that is coming out of my mouth shall be like that of Samuel, that it shall not drop into the ground. Father Lord, and that every word that is coming out of my mouth are words that are coming out of yours, O God. Father Lord, I decrease that you may increase this morning. Be magnified. Jesus, it is all about you. I pray that you are glorified. Father, that you are lifted up, God. I lift up the name of Jesus, O God. Lord, because you have promised that when we lift you up, you draw all men unto you, God. So Lord, this morning I haven't come for one. I have come for every single soul that under the sound of my voice, O God, to pick a nugget, a revelation, a confirmation, edification, God, to be built up, comforted, God, whatever it is that they came for, God, in the name of Jesus, would you multiply it in the mighty name of God. Lord, I bless you this morning. I give you praise, glory, and honor, and it's in your precious name that we pray and ask. Amen. 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 I was reading through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dropped this nugget, and he says, read 1 Corinthians 14, and he says, when you're done, ask me why. I was like, okay, this is good. So, all right, let's read that. It says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For ye that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speak unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, Paul says something very interesting concerning gifts. He starts off in 1 Corinthians 12 teaching them about spiritual gifts, or gifts given to the body. Then in 1 Corinthians 13, he teaches them about the most excellent way, which is love, in which every gift must flow and be driven by. And then comes to 1 Corinthians 14 to share on a gift that is highly recommended by the Holy Spirit for us to embrace, or rather one that he prefers that we embrace. So this morning I want to talk about this gift, which is the gift of prophecy, and why that is so important in the church, and the power of the gift of prophecy. Paul here is talking to the church and telling them, first of all, I love the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, I'm telling you, it just makes you feel good about being in today's century. I mean, there were the churches that were just doing everything wrong. And I mean, they had, and Paul just lovingly in these two books writes to them and says, guys, listen, you guys, let's just get some things straightened. There was a guy in there that was sleeping with his mom. When they were doing Holy Communion, they were getting drunk. I mean, just, you know how we have the little cups and the little bread. They were bringing like meals, and then they would bring like buckets and buckets of wine. Okay, and then there would be one who wouldn't bring anything, and then no one would share with that one. It was like, you don't have it? Oh, well, tough luck. And then they would have the smorgasbord, like they're, you know, stuffed, camp like a Thanksgiving meal. It's just they had wine. And then, so Paul comes in and says, guys, that's not the way you do that. That's just, come on, let's get this thing in order. This is what this is about, you know. And then they would take gifts and say, no, this one's better, and this one's better, and mine's better than yours, and I'm this, and all this kind of stuff. And they got excited when he comes to address them here. They got excited about speaking in tongues. And Paul, when you actually read the whole thing, which I'm not going to go through, but he's telling them, I'm not saying don't speak in tongues, guys. I'm saying that if there's a gift that you really, really must embrace as a church, is the gift of prophecy. He's saying, listen, I can speak more tongues than all of you guys put together. And I'm not saying you should stop. He says, I want you to continue. But if there's something that you must exercise, is the gift of prophecy. So here's where we find ourselves today. So with the gift of prophecy, I'm going to do just a little bit of teaching on this. Some teaching and some preaching. What can we learn from what Paul was talking about? I heard a woman of God say that Israel that we read about in the Old Testament was built by prophets, and the church has been built by apostles. So if we're spiritual Israel, we can't just throw away the Old Testament. We have to learn the things that the prophets did to build Israel. And the prophets were very much involved. So now before you start thinking and saying, no, she's now saying all of us must say, thus saith the Lord. There's more to prophecy than that. There's so much more to it. In fact, the utterance is just the physical manifestation of the character of your life. Okay? So there's so much more. That's why Paul was saying, I want you guys to embrace this gift. Because by embracing this gift, there's a certain way you're going to begin to live your life. That when you start living your life this way, even the utterance would just be a physical manifestation of the changes that are happening in your life. You understand me so far? So he starts to, throughout the chapter, he's talking to them about how they should conduct themselves in church, because everybody would come and everybody had a song. Everybody had a revelation. Everybody had announcements. You know, dad was up here doing announcements. Then there are like 10 people waiting to give their announcement. You know, women had finally found their liberty. So they would, you know how we are when we're talking, we process, right, ladies? We process as we're talking. That's why guys are looking at us like, what are you saying? It makes sense to us. We need to talk it out. Paul was saying, okay, look, we've only got a short amount of time. So if you start doing that in here, we're going to be here forever. So when he was saying, tell them to keep silent, he says, listen, you're going to be getting revelation. Take that at home and talk about it with your husband, because in the church setting, we got to preach the word. We got to edify and get things moving. Go talk with your husbands. And sometimes women have looked at that and said, oh, Paul was doing, kind of being hard on women. Actually, he was being hard on the guys. Because he says, go and ask your husband what the Lord has revealed to you. So husbands, you had to be paying attention to the Lord and hearing what he was saying. Because when your wife came to ask you questions, you better have the right answer. Don't give her the wrong answer, because if she starts living that, the Lord's coming to you like he came to Adam. What's going on? Right? Amen? So, you know, he starts to talk about that and says, you know, this is how the church structure should flow. So what are some of the things that we can learn about the prophetic? Okay, so two things. One thing, there is the office of the prophet. That's the actual office, for example, that Reverend Fidel Dad walks in. He's a prophet. That's the office that he's called into, ordained as one from beginning, before time began. God called him. Nobody told him. God called him. He's in that office. He sits in that office. Pastor Cleckley sits in the office of a prophet. The prophets in the Old Testament, they were in the office of a prophet. Okay, the spirit of prophecy is when there is an atmosphere that is in here, and actually all of you can begin to prophesy and say a word from the Lord. And actually you do it every day. Whenever you're speaking the word of God, you're prophesying. You're speaking life. It's the life of God speaking over a situation. Okay. Well, when you're speaking the word of God, and when the word of God says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs," you're prophesying. The song we were singing today, "I see the chains falling." There were no chains in here. You were prophesying. I feel the chains coming off. They are coming off. They are coming off in the name of Jesus Christ. Their chains might be at home, but I'm speaking them right now. That when I get home, those chains will be broken. You were prophesying. Amen. You're speaking life over a situation. So that's what he was encouraging them. He says, listen, I know you're not called to the office, but I want you to flow in the spirit of it. And he's telling them this because this is what begins to build a church. This is what begins, or the church, because we are the church. This is what begins to build the local body. There are certain things that we start to do when we start to think like the way that the prophets thought. The way that a prophet thinks, the way that they process things, the things that they did in the word, the way that they function, the way that they looked at life. When we start to look at some of those things, we're actually starting to see that it actually is Jesus. When we want to be more like Jesus, we are moving in that spirit of prophecy, because the word in Revelations 19:4 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. His whole life was prophesied. From his birth to his death, everything that he did was prophesied. That's why he went to the Pharisees and says, no, you guys don't know the word. Because if you did, you would know me. Because everything that I am doing has been written. Everything that I have set my mind to do, the prophets wrote about it. And right now I am fulfilling it. Even the law itself, I'm here to fulfill it. Amen. So let's look at some of the things that prophets do. So point number one, out of 1 Corinthians 14:3, which we read, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So prophets build or they edify, they comfort, and they exhort. So when we become those kind of people, edify means to invest, to teach, to increase intellectually. The words of a prophet or the word that is coming from the Lord through the prophetic is to make people better intellectually. So that's why in the house of the Lord, if you're a student, you shouldn't get F's or D's and struggling in school. It's to improve you intellectually. So when we're speaking into one another's lives, everything that we are doing, because just because our spirit man is alive, doesn't mean your brain stops working. So when you're prophesying, you're speaking to the intellect of people as well and sharpening how skillful we become. That way we learn how to work smarter and lighter instead of harder. Come on, somebody. You learn how to work easier. You learn how to work smarter. You don't have, what will take others 10, 50 years will take you 1 year because of a prophetic word. And it doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord. We're going to continue to look more into that so that you're more at ease with this. But it is speaking. It's really taking what is God saying about my situation, about your situation, and speaking that into people's lives. Because this is what we must understand. As people, we are so precious to God. The way we handle each other, we have to be very careful. Jesus died for each one of us in here. Our life is so precious. Speaking into people's lives, when I stand before you, it's truly humbling. When we speak into people's lives, it's not a right, it's a privilege. So we handle that with care. We can't come up to people and just say, I think. No, no, no. What is God saying about this person he died for? You gotta handle them like a jewel. Handle them delicately. I have to speak, not mincing and going around. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying this person is a precious commodity to God. You can't, we're not allowed to just come and say, no. That's why I don't like gossiping. I'm like, no. Wait a second. No. That person belongs to God. That person was made by God, fashioned by them. They are an expression of his mind. I cannot just come and say anything I want to any of you. I'm not allowed to do that. Prophets, their mouths were guarded by God. Right, Dan? Could not just say what they wanted. They were very careful with what they spoke into a person's life. Because when you speak, that spoken word is creative power. That's how we all came into existence. God said, let there be, and we were here. So when that Ruach is now living inside of us and we say, let there be, we have to be careful what we're speaking out. We might bring into existence things that are not supposed to be there or speak things onto people's life which are not supposed to be there. Amen? So we start learning how to speak learning how to build people intellectually. And this has got nothing to do with, oh, but you know, I only went up to seventh grade. No. Listen, I don't know if Elijah and Elisha went to school, but when those guys were prophesying and they stood under the power of the Holy Ghost, they were counseled to kings, commanders in the war. They could counsel anybody from a widow to kings. So I'm not even talking about your education level. I'm talking about giving out the word of God, which surpasses any level of education, any degree. Well, he's, you can have more degrees than a thermometer and you will not be as wise as God is. So I'm telling you, speak the wisdom of God. Amen. Then it also comes to exhort, which is to strongly encourage. To strongly encourage and urge somebody to do something. Sometimes we just need encouraged. We need built up. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to be built up and encouraged? And you ever been told something that, you know, you're down and somebody says something to you that's just like, okay, that was just a waste of time, but I'll smile anyways to be polite. Okay. With the church, we're supposed to always be hearing this person, God is going through XYZ. I need to know, God, how to speak to them. I understand their circumstance. And this might not be the time for my experience. Maybe in this situation, God, they need to hear a special word from you. So we're constantly listening to God. And you don't have to, like, you know, contort your body in a certain type of way. No, just always having this openness with God. And that's why, you know, always keeping your spirit alive. He was talking about don't stop speaking in tongues, because actually speaking in tongues keeps your spirit going. It keeps your spirit. You don't have to be all loud at work and that kind of thing. No, you know, just speaking in tongues, that always keeps your spirit alert and ready to hear from what the Lord is saying about your situations and circumstances around you. Amen. And then to comfort. Isn't the Holy Spirit the great comforter? I think of Job and his friends and how they were the greatest comforters for 7 days. You know why? They were quiet. They didn't say anything. Isn't that okay sometimes? Why do we have a hard time being quiet? I know I struggled with it. I couldn't stand quiet people because I'm like, this is so awkward. And for a whole season, I remember God put me around quiet people and they taught me a thing or two about prophecy. When you're quiet, you learn a lot. When you are quiet and you learn how to be okay with silence, your eyes start working. Your ears start working at a whole new different level. And you start to watch. I appreciate quiet people. I love them. I do. Because they taught me so much in how to learn from other people. And how to observe the world in such a different way. Because I was listening more. Amen. So even like with comfort, they were excellent comforters. They were excellent comforters because they were quiet. They didn't need to say anything. And when we do say something, it is led by the Holy Spirit. Because He's the greatest comforter. We don't have to put the pressure on us on how, what do we say and all of this kind of stuff. Even whenever we are speaking to people who have lost loved ones. Lord, what do I say? Sometimes He'll say, be quiet and just sit beside them. Don't say you understand when you don't. Just sit beside them and sometimes just cry with them. If you've never lost a baby, you don't know what that feels like. Be quiet and sit down. Amen. Sometimes somebody just needs a hug. Sometimes somebody just says, you just needs to know I'm here for you. Sometimes they just need a prayer. Sometimes they just need a meal. All of that is the spirit of prophecy. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when to and when not to. Amen. Prophets, number two, prophets grasp a vision, are able to grasp a vision and get to work. Prophets are able to grasp a vision and get to work. And the scripture reference for that is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Is that up there? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Okay, I'll read. Come here. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, or too narrow, too small. Let us go, we pray, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye, or go. Oh, I love this. When the spirit of prophecy is moving, you catch a hold of the vision. You catch a hold of what God is doing, what He's saying, and where He's going. When you catch a hold of that, it starts making you look at your surroundings and say, does this fit for where we are going? The pastor doesn't have to come and crank you up and be like, come on, guys, we need to get going. When you've already caught it so much that you're running to your pastor and saying, this place is not going to work for what God wants to do. Put us to work. You've already got an assignment. You've got a game plan. You're not saying, okay, now Pastor, this is what we need. You need to figure out and then we'll just show up. You're like, we'll carry the beams. We'll do what we need to do. We just need you to say yes. We just need you to give us the go and we will do the work. We'll answer the phones. We'll do child care. We'll sweep. We'll be on the praise team because we've caught the vision. The sons of the prophets didn't go and hire servants to do that. They could have done that. In fact, they could have even taken slaves and said, you build, you do it. But when you catch the vision and it becomes a part of you, nobody has to tell you to get up and work. Oh my God. When you're showing up to church, you're ready because you're ready and in position. You're in place because you've caught the vision. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you catching what I'm saying? There's work to be done. But when you catch the pastor doesn't have to lay out every single detail. When you're moving in the spirit of prophecy, even the places where the man of and woman of God who sit in the office of the prophets, if they miss something, you would have caught it and say, we've got you. And then what you begin to do with that now is you put them in a place now as you're working, because this story continues. This is the story, if you've never read it, of the axe head falling into the water, where he's cutting down the trees and the axe head falls into the water. Now he's at a place where he can't do anything. So he goes to the prophet of the house and says, this one is beyond me. I need you to work in the miraculous. I need you this season to pull on the man and woman of God like you've never pulled on them and say, we need you to flow in the prophetic on our behalf in this situation. We've done everything that we know to do. We've come up, we've shown up, we've worked, we've done what we need to do, but we can't go any further until this is fixed. Pull on them in a different way this season. And I'm telling you, your church is going to be growing because the work is getting done, because excellence is flowing, because things are going in such a way. I mean, everybody's dreaming and everybody has their position. Everybody has their assignment. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody just with that spirit of excellence. Not, I'm coming to practice, but just be glad I'm here. Be glad I made it as the usher this Sunday, because... you know. God, my heart is ready, and I'm going to come and do this, God, so well, because I know I'm working unto you. I'm working for your vision. This vision that's been given to the men and women of God has been given by God. So it's really him that we're working unto. Amen. And we're ready and in position, carrying our beams, carrying our work set, carrying our axe to get to work. Not being told, okay, now you need to pick up your axe and then you need to come over here and then you need... That spirit of prophecy keeps you going. What is it I need to do? What is it I need to do? What is it I need to do? Come on, God, give me strategy. What can I do better? I know we did this last year. How are we going to do this year? I know that this is what we did in 2015. 2016 is better. How can we make our children's ministry so dynamic that all the kids are coming to our VBS? All the children are coming here. God, what can we do? Give us strategy. Lord, what can we do with our outreach, God, that we're reaching everybody who we come in contact with. God, give us strategy, because these are your people. Not getting stuck in status quo like the man of God said this morning, or the woman of God said this morning. God, I know how I worshiped you in 2015, but in 2016, I'm lifting up both hands before they ask me to. Amen. So they get to work. Third thing is they speak to the core purpose of a person. Sorry, I forgot the scripture for this one, but it's the woman who was caught in adultery. And I remember Dad preaching on this, and I loved what he said. You know, after the accusers have come, this woman, for those who haven't heard the story, there's a woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees go to get her, and they bring her before Jesus. They weren't concerned that she had done that. They really wanted to trap Jesus. Because I think some of them were really sleeping with her too. But anyways, they bring her before Jesus and they say, she was caught in the act. Shouldn't we stone her? And Jesus draws in the sand, So many revelations with that. Oh my God, we'll be here forever, but so I won't go into them. But Jesus is drawing in the sand, and then he stands up and says, "You who has not sinned, cast the first stone." And one by one, they begin to leave. And he says to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And I remember Dad preaching on this, and he says, that word woman, when you study it, the root word is virtuous woman. And that's what Jesus called his mom. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, okay? Jesus looks at her, comes down to her level where she is by drawing in the sand. Isn't that like Jesus comes down to right where we are in our brokenness, in our shame, when we have every reason to be disgusted? Right there, he's down there with her and looks at her and says, "Woman, virtuous, virtuous, virtuous woman, where are your accusers?" And what I love about that, you know what Jesus didn't do? "I know what you did. Yes, you're a skank." No, he didn't go all that. He looked at her and says, "I'm calling you your core purpose. I'm not calling you by what you were in. I'm calling out who I created you to be. You are a virtuous woman." Sometimes just by calling people who they are, they rise up in their identity. When I found out that it's not what I have and who I'm married to and who my dad is and my mom is and where I'm from and who my siblings are, when I found out that I'm a daughter of Zion, when I found out that I'm a daughter of the Most High King, that my daddy owns the universe, that I'm a saint, come on somebody, you couldn't tell me anything. Oh my goodness, I love that title, Lioness Arising. My daddy owns the universe. I'm his baby. You can take everything away from me and that will never change. What would happen, church, if we started calling each other by who we really are? Virtuous woman. Man of valor. If we looked at people not by what they've done or what they're doing or where they've been, stuck in the pigs and a prodigal son, but we called them a child of God. We called them victorious. We called them and saw them the way Jesus sees them. What would our conversations be like in the church? Who wouldn't want to come to a place like that where they were celebrated? A place where they were made to feel like I can be anything that God has called me to be, and those people can see it. By calling her that, he didn't give her a 12-step program of this is what you need to do to get out of adultery. Just by telling her, no, this is who you really are, he says, now get up and go do the right thing. She wasn't like, "Oh no, I don't know how to, I've never." She says, "No, wait a second. I'm a virtuous woman. And if Jesus says that I am, then I know that I am. I will go out there and find every way that I can to live right." Who wouldn't want to come to a church like that? A church where you celebrated them. A church where you hugged them in their mess. A church where it says, those of you who are spiritual, build up somebody lest it happen to you. Because maybe the only thing that's different between you and that person is time and circumstance. Because Jesus understood that where that woman was, it's not, you know, he understood that what took her, there were several reasons that were known to him. So he called her out by calling her by who she really was. In the spirit of prophecy, we start realizing that I'm not allowed to look at you guys just by what my eyes see. I have to be listening. Daddy, show me Grandpa Teasdale. Show me him. Show me who he really, really is. So that when I can speak to his core purpose, life is coming out. You know what it is to have your core purpose? You know that thing that just makes you tick in life? The thing that you just get joy from doing. Some people, their core purpose, you know, either being doctors or being a mom or being a teacher. Your gift, the thing that you do in your sleep, it's just so natural. That thing that whenever you were a child, you dreamt about and said, one day when I grow up, I know that I want to be this. Speaking to that and saying, come on out. Come on out. Come on now, come out and be who you are. This is the judgment-free zone. You might stumble, you might fall, but guess what? Here we are. And you have got loving, loving spiritual parents in this house who will not let you down and not leave you alone whenever you fall. They will dust you up and pick you up and set you up on your way. I know these people. I have lived with them. I'm telling you, even behind the scenes, they dusted me up, picked me back up, said, try again, honey. No, don't do this. Sometimes I didn't want to hear it, but they were always right. I left mine in Zambia and I came and found two others that were just like that. But when we begin to speak to each other like that, doesn't it become easier to be slow to speak? Because now your tongue, you understand your tongue belongs to God. Prophets were the mouthpiece of God. That's why they were, when you read about prophets, they kept to themselves a lot. Because if in conversation, you can pick up a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not saying go isolate yourself and no one should see you for a year. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying that they kept to themselves a lot so that they could not get opinions from everyone on certain things. So you find that they were very much to themselves. They were always hearing God and only His voice. Because when they went before the people, they would say, God is saying this. I haven't had any influence from anyone else. Even I've had to train my own body to be quiet so I can hear God. Okay? So it teaches us how to speak to one another. Prophets love to pray. They love to pray. When you're in the spirit of prophecy, to hear God's voice, you have to be able to talk to Him, right? And to talk to somebody, then you know what their voice sounds like. You ever called somewhere, you call home, you call wherever where you call a lot. Somebody answers the phone. They don't even have to say their name and you know who it is, right? That's how it is with God. He says, my sheep know my voice. If you don't talk to Him and you prophesy and it's not Him, you're prophesying, okay? Because it's not Him. So to prophesy, you have to hear His voice. What is God saying? Oh, you know what? No, I don't know if I hear the voice of God. No. We're not doing that in 2016. We're going to learn, okay? We're going to learn how to hear God's voice. And you have an excellent man or woman of God that will teach you and walk you through all of that if you don't know. Or how to get sharper with that. Sharper in that skill of listening to God and hearing Him. And praying. Come on, with the prophets, think about it. Do you think the prophets prayed on the way to work, like when they were riding their camel? That's when they were praying and that was it for the rest of the day. Okay, so to be a prophetic church, to love to pray, we got to stop this thing of, oh, at least I prayed on the way to work. No. Make the time. You got 24 hours in one day. You are the manager of them. Find the time. Don't watch Scandal. Pray. Amen. You'll be okay if you miss Scandal, all right? That's a popular show for our moms and dads, maybe who don't know. Or Andy Griffin. There you go. She remembered. Dad loves Andy Griffin. Okay. Those shows are about what, an hour, right? Half an hour? But if it's like... Seven or eight episodes. See? So what's that, like 3.5 hours? Yeah. I skip a couple of two Andy Griffin shows. One rerun of America's Next Top Model. Just 1 hour. And guess what? God showed me something this year. He says, I love to talk. He said, I wrote 66 books about myself. I have so much to say. So even sometimes when you're in prayer and you're like, okay, I've said my our Father who art in heaven, God, I said it. That was like 30 seconds. What do I say? Trust me. The more that, just like anything, like a muscle, you begin to exercise. You begin to exercise it. God will speak. One time God spoke to me for 4 hours straight. I just sat there. I'm just listening. Yes, I mean, so much to the point where I was like, God, I don't think I can take anymore. It was too much revelation. I'm like, God, I can't right now. It's too much. He has a lot to say. So even in your prayer time, if you're like, I don't have anything, let Him talk. Let Him speak into your life. Let Him speak into your situation. But get comfortable to be the kind of church that is having a conversation with God. After all, your life is His. So you can't just give Him 5 minutes. Don't get into this doctrine of, oh, it's what is it, quantity over quality? Quality over quantity? No. To get what we need to get done, we got to get back into prayer. It might take our time, okay? And that's okay. God is a redeemer of time. Now don't skip work and be like Victoria said. Don't pick that time. Do it after work. But we have to get back to that time when we look at the prophets of old. They had prayer lives. So pick some time. And just say, I'm not picking up the phone for half an hour. I'm going to spend some time with God. It might be awkward, maybe feel like a first date for some. It's all right. Try again the next day. And the day after that. And the day after that. And the day after that. And before you know it, you're just talking. You're like, okay, God, I can't wait. Okay, God. All right, I got so much to tell you. I've got so much. I can't wait to just get home and just have some time alone with you, God. Just with you. I'm not calling anybody. Even tell your friends, do not call me between this time. Or you call them whenever you know a popular show is going on so you know no one will call you. And then you pray then. Amen. Because we have to know what His voice says. I think of the story of Moses whenever the children are coming out of Egypt and they're going into the desert and God is up on the mountain and there's lightning and thunder and they were so afraid to go up. But Moses says, you know what? I'm going. And he went up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and was in the presence of God. Do you know that God wanted to give all of them at the same time the commandments? But they didn't want to, so they stepped back, and Moses is the one who went up. But that was meant for all of them. Sometimes we feel like, you know, you're the pastor, so you do the praying. We'll come and join you for a little bit on Sunday during worship, but you pray. Go ahead, Pastor Collector, you pray. We won't pray, because you're the pastor. But we are all supposed to be. When Peter's in jail, the whole church gathered. They were praying. They prayed. They prayed so hard. They were delusional. Whenever he came back, they were like, he's a ghost. It can't be him. They prayed for so long, they didn't even know that their prayer had been answered. Prayer is the foundation of any of the works of God. We have to be a people of prayer. Because that's how we hear God's voice. And this one here is my favorite. We have to be people who love to read the Word of God. The prophets were living by every word that came out of the mouth of God. Every single word is what they lived by. Hebrews 4:12. Can you put that up for me? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Reading the word of God sharpens your discernment. If we want to be a prophetic church, we should not be the kind of church where we have people sitting right next to us and they're hurting, they're being abused, and we don't know. And we're sitting right next to them. Sometimes it just takes and say, I know you don't want to talk about it, but you need a hug. You don't know how many times. Some people don't get hugs. But reaching out to somebody and hugging them, squeezing them, just letting them feel that physical touch. Some people don't get that, but having the kind of discernment that says right now, just hug them. Can mean so much to people. I've gone up to people, just hug them, and they're crying. Because they just needed that. So it's more than thus saith the Lord. It's just knowing this person I'm next to is going through this. Father God, let me start praying. Let me start praying. You might not release me to say anything to them yet, but let me start praying for this person. That's how in the early church they said people didn't go with wanting anything because they were so in tune with one another and knew each other's needs, the ones that were spoken and unspoken, because discernment was flowing amongst them. Amen? to be able to know. And then I love what it says, that it's the word of God. So then when you read God's word, it sharpens your discernment. Discernment being able to know the spirit behind what is going on in a person. Being able to know the things that are not seen, that you can't see with your natural eyes, but you're able to pick up in your spirit. And I love that it says that it divides between soul and spirit. Your soul and your spirit are very similar. Your soul is your emotions, your feelings, and your intellect. Okay? So there are certain things that your soul does that looks like your spirit. And we do this in church sometimes, or this happens. Have you ever praised God so much? You praise God, your spiritual high, you go home and you're like, people say, what was the word about? You're like, I don't know. I just know I felt good. I just know I had a great time in church. Yes, but what did you learn? I can't remember. It was just good. You had a soulish experience. Okay? And it's okay to praise God with your feelings and your emotions. He gave them to you. God says, praise me with your whole being. But he also wants your spirit involved so that you can hold on to what he's teaching you. Amen? So when we go into church, sometimes we're just going through the motions sometimes. So with the soul and the spirit, the word says, I've come to have a very clear cut with that. So for example, for women, we have something called women's intuition. That dwells in the soulish realm. It's not a bad thing. Okay? And the reason why I know it dwells in the soulish realm, other than God telling me, is because the spirit is genderless. The spirit that dwells inside of us is not male and female. What's male and female is your soul. Okay? So when you have women having women's intuition, you're operating out of your soul, that sixth sense that we have as women. You know how we just know something's not right? Yeah, we can feel it. Yeah? Okay, if that was a spirit thing, guys would be able to do that. But it dwells in us, and that's where when the word of God comes to tell us, I can divide between your women's intuition and you sensing something in your spirit. The word of God knows how to make that clarity for us. The word of God teaches us, now when we start learning how to speak prophetically into each other's lives, how to not make a soulish prophecy versus a spiritual prophecy. A soulish prophecy would be, Dad and Mom, I decree and declare that by this afternoon, this church will double. I want that for them so much. But that's my desire. See what I'm saying? It's not a bad word, but it's what my soul desires for them. A spiritual prophecy would be me going to God and saying, Lord, what's going to happen to their church? And he starts saying, watch, every Sunday, upcoming, one person, two people, three, four, just like that, I'll start adding unto them. You see the difference? It's what I wanted. And we have to be careful with that, especially when we know one another. God, let me listen to you and make sure this is not a soulish prophecy. Okay? Is this good? Okay. And then also and I'll end with this. They're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit because it's his gift. And you read in 1 Corinthians 12 how, we won't go through that, but he lists all the gifts that he has and how that he's the author of all the gifts and that he has different manifestations of how he flows in them. So if somebody uses, if somebody flows prophetically through music, that's how God uses them. It's not going to look like yours. It's not going to look like mine. It's not going to look like Dad and Mom's. God is so creative that he could flow prophetically differently through each one of us sitting here. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is us being able to identify that, yes, this is of God. It is the Holy Spirit. And even though it's different, I'm not going to discourage it and tear down this person because they're not flowing the way I flow. And encouraging somebody to be different and who God has called them to be. And you have a man and woman of the house who God has put in place that if things are out of order, God has gifted them and graced them to say, no, that is out of order. Don't fight them. Work with them. They have your best interests at heart. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When God says, let there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What was the Holy Spirit doing? You know what that hovering means? That's anointing. He was anointing the earth to be set aside for God. Because the Bible says he searches the deep things of God. And examines. And he says, this is exactly what God wants. And the Holy Spirit went out through all creation, out of the entire universe. And he says, God, because I have gone inside and seen everything that you're about, I've studied your mind, I've taken notes, I've tested, I've done everything, I have looked. Earth is the place that you want to do what you want to accomplish. So he was hovering and hovering and hovering. And he says, you have a purpose here. That's why we have to work with him. Be sensitive to him. Because he knows what God wants. If we're moving outside of him, we're moving out of the will of God. When we're moving in the Holy Spirit, we know how to move. He's the one who knows the in and outs of God. We have to fall in love with the Holy Spirit all over again. Move in step with him. Run with him. Flow with him. Come on, just going where he's going. Not back there. Flowing in step with him. Holy Spirit, what's my assignment for today? Holy Spirit, where do you need me today? Holy Spirit, you have anointed me for a purpose, God. Where is it that I need to be? Show me, Holy Ghost, what it is that I need to do today. Falling in love with the Holy Spirit as a prophetic church. Being led by him. You ever been like you've been doing something and then the Holy Spirit kind of just leads you a different way, like in the grocery store, and then something amazing happens and at first you're like, why did I even come this way? But the Holy Spirit led you. Being led by the Holy Ghost. Lord, what is it you want me to say? God, how do you want me to think today? How do you want me to move today? God, what is it that you want me to achieve today? What's my strategy for today, God? How do you want me to go about and do your work, God? How can I make your work, this work lighter? How can I speak into somebody else's life? God, show me somebody who's hurting. Father God, how can I be a representative of Jesus in the earth today? How can I be an ambassador on my job? Teach me how to love the people that are impossible to love. The people that are difficult to love. God, take away the insecurities inside of me because I've got work to do. I'm a child of the King. Keep my head up high, God. Moving with the Holy Spirit.